Good morning. Hey, we're out here at East Greenwich High School at the playing fields. And we're out here because this morning we're going to be shifting our focus a little bit in our summer series. For the last several weeks, we've been talking about shortcuts, those ways that we try to get at the treasure without doing the work. We try and shortcut, we've also called it like pirating our way into God's kingdom, into the life that God intended for us. But in fact, it ends up not being such a shortcut most of the time, because when we don't do the work, we find out that we actually don't end up with that life that God intended for us, that life that we were made for. So this morning, we want to talk about, you know, we don't want to be doing that. So what is it that we want to be doing? Well, the opposite of shortcut. And what is the opposite of shortcutting? Doing the work. And we're out here because, you know, you noticed at the beach when we were there, there was nobody around. That's a place that people show up to when they don't want to do work. But man, this place is full. We got people walking all over the place, even this early in the morning, because this is where you do the work. We want to talk about what does it mean to do the work to find the treasure that God has for us. Now, Christianity, it's not a faith that we're talking about how we work our way to God, how we impress God with our works. Because we know that there's nothing that we could do to impress God. I mean, he made all this. What are we going to do to impress him? There's nothing we can do. There's not enough that we could ever do to try and earn his love or earn his respect. Everything that he gives us is a gift. It's a gift of his grace. So this treasure that he offers us, this life he offers us, it's a gift. All that we can do to receive that gift is turn to him and just accept it, receive it freely, because it was offered freely to us. But that doesn't mean that this gift of grace doesn't come without work to be done, because this life that is offered is offered as a life of transformation. Transformation of our minds, transformation of our hearts, transformation of our affections and our loyalties and the way that with our perspectives, transformations of our actions, how we live our life out. And that kind of transformation, that takes work. Now, there are parts of us that when God transforms us, there's an immediate transformation. For example, in our spirit, that happens. In our spirit, it says that this transformation is immediate, as we're like being reborn and brought into alignment with God in terms of a new relationship with him and into his kingdom as his children. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he or she is a new creation, brand new creation. The old is gone, and the new has come into being." Also in 2 Peter 1:3, it says, "God's divine power has given us, past tense, us everything we need for life and godliness." So there are parts of us that have been made brand new, but there are other parts of us that we have to work at. So our spirit, the transformation is immediate, but then the Holy Spirit comes and he takes up residence inside of us to mentor us and to shape us into his image. So our mind and our will, our emotions, all of these things, they're shaped by him. They're slowly molded into reflecting more the image of Jesus, how he thinks, how he acts, how he would live. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, it says, "I urge you then, brothers and sisters in Christ, by the mercies of God, present even your physical body, present every part of yourself as a holy and a living sacrifice to God, a sacrifice that's set apart to him. This is your spiritual act of worship." We think of worship in various ways, as standing and singing, as praying. But he says this kind of presenting everything you are for this work of transformation, that is our work of service. And it says, "And so don't be conformed to this world. Don't be pressed into its mold, but instead be transformed by that work of renewing your mind so that you might prove, you might show, you might live out and manifest what the will of God is so that everybody can see it, what that good and acceptable and perfect will of God is." So the gift of God is free, but to obtain the fullness of that gift that we've received, that takes work. You know, when talking about this subject, I often have used the illustration of running because I have a little bit of experience with running. But honestly, you could substitute in any any sport at all, any sport, any talent, any academic pursuit, any business venture, because in all of these things, there's no substitute for actually doing the work. You know, when I was younger, I took piano, and I started playing piano when I was 5 years old. And when I was 5 years old, I could barely reach the keys. I couldn't reach the pedals. And so the first thing that I needed to do to learn how to be a pianist was I didn't need to take on this massive piano concerto and learn how to play this thing. The first thing I needed to do was figure out literally that keyboard that you're working with. What are these black keys? What are these white keys? What are these intervals in between? What are these sounds that come out? How hard do I need to press? How do I build up my fingers so I can push down these keys? And then there was that whole thing called music. I had to learn things about tempo and about time signatures and about key signatures and about just about rhythm and all of these subjects and topics. I didn't know any of that at age 5. I had work to do. And it wasn't work to impress my piano teacher. It wasn't to somehow gain her respect or her admiration. It was so I could become that thing that I had set out to become, that thing that I had in my heart to be. It was a piano player. Now, I had some of this in me. I had grown up in a musical family, so I had some of these terms that I understood. I had some of these, I knew what a fast song was and what a slow song. I knew some of these things about tempo, but that didn't make me a piano player. There was a lot more work I had to do. And in the same way, I think that a lot of times we have spirituality within us, and it comes from just growing up in a world where God has infused this world with His presence and with just spiritual things. And so we can know that we're spiritual, but that doesn't make us a mature follower of Jesus. That doesn't make us a child of God. I can even be spiritual because I've actually reached out to God and received that gift that He offered me. But that doesn't mean that I'm a fully developed follower of His ways and understanding that life. I haven't discovered. There's work of transformation that has to be done. So an important question for us to ask in our lives is, one, what is that work? Where do we start to do this work that is needed to lay hold of the fullness of that gift that God has offered to us, the fullness of that treasure that He says is ours? Now, some call this spiritual formation. Some would call it Christian discipleship. But what it's about is that process of how we learn how to cooperate and collaborate with God's Spirit, who He has poured out within us, who lives within us. How we collaborate with Him is in this work of transformation, so that we begin to look more like Jesus, more like God in the way that we think, in the way that we see the world, in the way that we treat people, in the way that the priorities that we set, the attitudes that we have, the reactions that we have in our lives, these things that we choose, and especially in the constancy and the consistency of the way that we love others and we take care of and we care for this world that God has put us in. So what is that work? What does that work look like? Where does it begin? Now, over the next several weeks, we're going to talk about a couple of different things, a couple of different ways, the specific ways that this life, that we do this work. But today I just want to give us kind of that foundation, that starting point for where this begins, what all of this ties back to. And that's really found in God's Word. It all starts with God's Word and with God's Spirit, God's presence with us and the things that He has already spoken to us that are recorded for us, the easy access kind of words of God. So it starts with the process of setting aside time so that we have time to get into God's Word, to study it, to dig into it, to understand what it says. And we want to understand what it says so that we know the truths of what God is saying, of what He is calling us into. Now, second, it also takes time to set aside, to set up practices and set up systems to keep us accountable to do the things that we find written there, that we find that God is speaking. In John 14, 15, Jesus said, if you love Me, you'll do the things I've commanded you. You'll do the things that I've told you, because you'll recognize that I have told you these things because they are illustrating, they're showing you the way to live the life that God intended for you. So if you truly are pursuing Me, you'll do the things. So part of it is knowing and understanding these things, but then it's doing these things. But then that also means that we start building intentionally spiritual friendships. We surround ourselves in this spiritual community that are focused on these same things. See, we surround ourselves with God's people, with Jesus' followers. Because who else is going to encourage us to keep on with this transformation? This is hard work sometimes. Who else is going to encourage us to keep at it except those who are also keeping at it? Who else is going to understand the challenges that we're facing except those who are also facing the same challenges with their lives in this process of being transformed to be like Christ? Who else is going to want us to succeed as much as we do except those who are also pursuing the same goal? So this idea of building spiritual friendships in order to pursue these things becomes very important. We also learn in this process how to listen to God, not just read a book, but how to read scripture and then have it be a part of our conversation with him. So we're talking to God, but we're also taking that time to listen to what he has to say and to get good at listening. And that takes some work. It's also about learning to see with the eyes of our heart instead of just the eyes that are in our head. So as we start learning these things, we start looking out at the world in a very different way. And seeing with the eyes of our heart is not just emotionally. It's not just feeling empathy or compassion. It's literally seeing every person in every situation from that perspective that God would see it, with the priorities that God has for it. So when we see injustice, we say, something has to be done there. And we rise up because that's how God sees it. When we see a person, we say, that person needs to know that they're loved deeply, eternally, because that's God's priority for that person. So this is about meditating on God's word. It's about carrying it with us. It's about saturating ourselves with God's word so that our mind is shaped by it. Our actions are shaped by it. Our perspectives, our attitudes, everything is shaped by this word of God. That's where the work is. That's where the work is, walking with the Spirit of God so that everything that we do really becomes an aspect of an action of worship. You know, a lot of times we think of worship as going to church, standing and singing songs or saying a prayer. But God says actually worship happens in those everyday things in our lives that we do. So that every activity, you know, every act becomes a spiritual act of worship. So work, going to work, the work that we do, our careers, that's worship. Loving our how we love our spouse, that's worship. How we care for our children, that's worship. How we care for the needy, that's worship. You know, back in the 5th to the 8th century in the British Isles, the Christians there, they had a very kind of a real world perspective on the Christian faith. And so they had this practice of what they called wandering around for the love of Jesus. And because they saw even wandering through the hills, you had the opportunity to make that an act of worship because of the way that it became a time of communing with God and seeing what he sees and looking for those places where he was at work. So all of this, that is the work, starting with the word and letting it saturate us and change us and just transform our lives. You know, in the verses that we read at the beginning of this message in 1 Corinthians 3, 11 through 14, it says that this process of building our lives is a lot like building a house. And in building a house, it says that there's a foundation that you need. And in building our lives, there's really only one foundation that will really help us make that transition, build a life that lasts, a life that makes that transition into eternity. And that's the foundation of Jesus Christ, that foundation of having that relationship with him. That's the foundation we need. But then it says, you know, there's different things we can build with. You can build a house with wood and hay and straw. You can build a house with gold and silver and precious stones. And it says that we have the option of what to build with. Now, we've looked at this passage before. We looked at this passage a couple weeks ago. We looked at this passage a couple of years ago because it's a great passage to understand when we talk about what does it mean to build a life that's pleasing to God, that's honoring to God. A couple weeks ago, what we saw was wood, hay, and straw. One of the things about that is that you find those anywhere. They're in every ditch. They're at the side of every road. you could really quickly build a big house with wood, hay, and straw because they're easy to find, they don't cost anything, and they're easy to work with when it comes to building houses. Gold and silver and precious stones, not so much. You know, you have to search for those things. And another thing that this passage brings out is that wood, hay, and straw, when you hit those with fire, they're gone. They incinerate. And it says that the day of Christ Jesus will be like that fire. So whether that's that Jesus comes back to set up his kingdom and he finds us here, or whether we're brought into his presence, on that day, our lives will be hit with like a fire that tests how we've built our lives up. And it's going to either incinerate the works that we've done because they were all temporary. They were all things that had to do with this world, but not really with eternity. Or we're going to find we built with gold, silver, and precious stones, because gold and silver and precious stones, they last through the fire. They stand up. When the fire's over, they're still there, as does that foundation stone. Those are the things that will last. Well, those are two important points that come out of this passage that we need to know. But what I want us to do this morning, I want us to press in a little bit more to this illustration, into this story that Paul gives us, and think about what is that work that is required of us then? If we're going to build with gold and silver and precious stones, what's implied about the work that needs to be done? What does it mean to do the work of building with these materials? Well, first thing is, when you're working with gold and silver and precious stones, you have to go look for them. And it's not easy. You're not going to walk across a field like the one I see in front of me and find signs that say, hey, for gold, dig right here. You know, for silver, go down to that end. You know, for precious stones, you'll find those in the baseball diamond. You're not going to find that kind of instruction. You have to, it's hit and miss. You say, I think this looks like a good place. You start digging and you do the work and you dig and you dig. And there may be times you dig that you just keep digging, you don't find anything. But you keep going until you find something. But that takes work. How are we doing with that? How are we doing with taking the time, investing the time to actually dig at, like, God's Word? Dig into His Word until we find the truths that are there. Dig in His Word until we find those habits that He wants us to build into our lives. Until we find those building materials that He wants us to find. It's not going to be easy, because they're not just laying around. We do have to do the work. Second is, once you dig them out, once you have gold and silver and precious stones, once you find out where they are, you still have to get them out of the rock. Most of the time, they're embedded in just a mass of rock, and you have to chisel at it, and you have to chisel it off of it, and you have to remove these things from the rock that they're embedded in. Well, how are we doing with that? How are we doing with taking God's Word and kind of extracting those truths and the truth that God and the practices that God wants us to build our lives with, extracting that from all kind of the clutter that sometimes we bring into it, sometimes this clutter that is kind of just the way that we see it, or that somebody says that they interpret it? You know, one of the things, we were talking about the Sabbath rest that God calls us into a couple weeks ago, and for a lot of people to say, well, the Sabbath, yeah, that means going to church on Sunday. Well, no, we found out that means so much more than that. It has to do with the rhythms of our lives. It has to do with the way that we see rest and the way that we see sharing our time with others in a way that's meaningful and that gets our eyes off of ourselves. It's so much bigger than that. That's the truth. Well, how do we extract that from that clutter that surrounds it sometimes that keeps us from really understanding? It's easy to go to church on Sunday. You just show up, be there. It's a lot harder to work this idea, this rhythm of Sabbath, this rhythm of rest, this rhythm of other-centeredness into our lives. That's the work of extraction. How are we doing with that? The third is, even once we have these things extracted, you still have to refine them. Gold and silver, you have to heat them up till the impurities come to the top so you can scrape those off and that you have more and more pure gold and silver. Precious stones, you have to chisel it off until you have all the imperfections and you have these facets so that you have this beautiful stone that reflects light and that's beautiful the way it's intended to be. How are we doing with that? How are we doing with testing and refining the truths when we bring them into our lives, trying them out and working at them and purifying them so that we get better and better at them, that they become more and more quality in our lives and more and more reflective of God within how we live and how we act and how we speak, how we love others. So how are we doing that? Purifying these things, these truths that we find. The fourth thing is that, you know, you look at gold and silver and precious stones, these aren't normal building materials. You know, that's why you don't drive down the street and you don't see a whole bunch of houses built with gold and silver and they have gemstones everywhere. And the reason is because if you're going to do that, you're going to have to do probably two things. One is you're going to have to modify these things to make them into something that you can build with. But then also you're going to probably have to modify the plans of your house so that you have a house, a plan that can be built with these materials. And I think that last one is especially important to us because we need to ask, how are we doing modifying our life plans so that we can use the building materials that God has for us? How are we doing with saying, you know what, I think God wants forgiveness to be a part of my life, a regular part of how I go at life. So how do I modify my life plans in order to reflect and use forgiveness instead of just this, you know, I'm done with you and move on. Or I will hold bitterness against you for the rest of my life. And that's, are we building with that, or are we modifying our plans in order to work in God's materials? How are we doing with modifying our life plans so that generosity becomes a part of who we are instead of what we see of self-seeking or greed or just pursuing my own things? Instead, we start working in. That's going to take a modification of our life goals, our life plans. How are we doing with that? Because that's what it's going to take. That's part of the work that it takes. Lastly, also, do we realize that because we're using these things that aren't normal building materials, we're using these things that take so much more work. How are we doing how are we with just knowing that we're not going to have probably a house that looks as impressive in some ways as others? Like I said, you can build a house very quickly, a very large house with wood and hay and straw, because they're everywhere. They're cheap. They're easy to work with. And so we have all these houses that are very impressive because they're built with these easy to find materials. Are you okay with people not being as impressed with your life, knowing that God is impressed with how you have built? Are you okay with knowing that you're not going to have as impressive as a life in some ways because you have chosen not to build to impress others in this world, but instead because you know there's a fire that has to be gotten through? You're looking at eternity instead of just at the temporary things. Because we have to be okay with that. We have to be okay with knowing that it's not people that are going to be impressed all the time. It really is. We're looking at God's approval. We're looking to walk into God's presence and Him to look at us and say, you know what? Well done. Good investment. Good use of the materials, of the treasure that I gave you to build your life with. Great job at doing the work of building the house. So what does that mean? What does that look like? Where can we start? Well, I want to go back again to just where we were a little bit ago, God's Word. Let's start there. Everything starts with God's Word. Everything starts with God's Spirit. So God's Word, get into it. Make time to read and to think and dig and wrestle with what God's saying in His Word so that you begin to understand it, that you begin extracting those truths, you begin applying those truths. But then it's about God's Spirit. When you're in God's Word, let Him be speaking to you. Get good at listening to what He says. Don't just read a book. Read and look at that and say, you know, part of this process is going, okay, God, what are you saying? What do you mean by that? How am I supposed to apply that? Do that work of digging in that conversation that you have with Him. But then third, and this is the tough one, is put it into practice. Do it. It's about obedience. It's about actually doing this work that we're called to do. So learn to do the work. Do the things that God has told you to do. Do the truths. Apply the truths. You know, embed them. Build your life with them. And the last one is just keep at it. Keep at it until you see that this life of these old habits you used to have has been transformed into this life of a whole new set of habits, whole new set of practices, whole new set of characteristics that really begin to look a lot more like Jesus, begin to reflect His nature, His thoughts, His compassion, His character through your life. That's where these habits come from. You know, a lot of times we would love to be compassionate people, but do you know where the habit of compassion comes from? From doing the work, from practice. Where does the habit of generosity come from? Intentional generosity towards others. From practice, from doing the work, Where does grace come from and forgiveness come from and faith come from? Where do these things, and empathy and coming alongside and other people, that other mindedness, where does that come from? From doing the work. That is the work. That is the work that God has called us into, this work of grace. If we want to be more forgiving people, we need to dig into God's word. We need to find that truth there. We need to then wrestle with it and say, what does this mean? And then how do I put it into my life? Holy Spirit, what are you saying? How do I integrate this and then do the practice until we find that we have become forgiving people? We become patient people. We become joyful people. This is where a godly life comes from. Practice, doing the work. That's the work we have to do. That's how we build this house with things that'll last over the long haul. That's how we build a life that will last into eternity. That's what God has called us to do. This is a life that then reflects to others that, you know what, we, like our God, are not going to be those who take shortcuts. We're not going to be those who try to pirate our way into the kingdom. Instead, we are going to be those instead that do this tough work of transformation. Because we know that that is truly where the treasure is. That's where that treasure that God has for us, that's where it's found.